Welcome back to Community Connections, and we change the tune every hour as we go along. We're talking to Mr. Greg, the beekeeper, and now we're talking to our local MP, Cindy McLeish. First of all, welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you along. Cindy, we haven't had a... last month when we were due to talk to you, you were up among the bushfires, or should I say probably a bit of the wash-up of the bushfires. So would you like to sort of run us through a bit things are starting opening again and what's going on?
Yeah, so last month actually when I couldn't be here, I was at Woods Point and, you know, keep going from Reefton and keep going up and up and up and you'll end up, it's kind of almost where the Mansfield Shire, Yarra Ranges and Murrindindi Shire almost intersect at up near Matlock.
Oh, do they?
And, yeah, really large area. What was crazy in COVID was Matlock, you know, there's about 10 people live there and it's dense bush. We're locked down as part of the city because of the crazy things. Anyway, at Gaffney's Creek, or just out of Woods Point, there was a fire, two fires deliberately lit. And this was on the back of the Longwood fires for us. And the first one, and they don't know who did it, the first one was sort of near a rocky face where it was easy to get out. So all the CFA, that was reported, it was visible, went there, while the second fire in a problematic area was lit. So, you know, it diverted the resources, which is, you know, like just the fact that somebody was thinking to do that was pretty terrible. And so what it meant for Woods Point, the road to Mansfield, which is their closest road, which is still takes, you know, got an hour and a half or so to get to Mansfield, along a mostly dirt track. It's pretty rugged. And even the one from Marysville or Reefton, a lot of it's dirt. So they were blocked off and they didn't have power because all of the power lines were down and the generators. And in fact, I believe that people are still on generators and that was like a month ago.
True.
Yeah, because it's been problematic to clear that up. So I was there wanting to make sure that the people of Woods Point didn't miss out on, you know, any advocacy that was required. So that's what I was doing last time. That was a few weeks after the Longwood fires.
So, Cindy, I've got to ask you, how I know Alexandra was particularly ravaged with fires. Are they opening up again? I don't necessarily mean the roads. I mean, are people, particularly tourists, starting to come back, or are they shying away from these areas?
No, look, they are coming back. Yay's been busy and Mansfield's been busy. Some of the parks aren't open properly. And then when there's even the word fire, people stay away even when it's safe. And that has, you know, in January, a lot of the tourism businesses took a huge hit.
And at a time they can't afford to take that.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, even like at Lake Eildon. So I was up at Jerusalem Creek the other day in Eildon and over to Juris. And, you know, he said January's their busy month. People stayed away. And you could still get to Eildon.
Yeah,
but going beyond Eildon to Alex, you couldn't get into at that time, and so people did stay away. So it does make a difference. You know, the long weekend, long weekends were pretty good, and Easter's coming up.
Well, I'm going to ask you: are we going to try and get people to come up to Easter, come up at Easter time, and spend some money? Because, I mean, there is a long weekend coming up.
That's right. And people have been, there have been a number of activities, and I know Racing Victoria helped Alex with their last race meeting, Alexandra, to make sure that the people did come. You know, they have buses, you know what it's like at Healesville, it's the same. You know, have buses of people come out from the city and spend a big day and have a bit of fun. So they had things like that to make sure that...
And we really need to get some money back into those areas, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. So the Yay Racing Club had their races just at the back end of the fires. They ran that. It wasn't as busy as normal, but the towns want to keep as much normal as possible. Place like Marysville, completely untouched, completely beautiful. You know, they get caught up with fires.
Yep.
And it is like even the Upper Yarra, you know, like these are great places to visit. They're a great place for a day or an overnight or even to spend a few days.
Yeah, and particularly with Easter coming up, there's a few days there. And the trouble is, I mean, if these businesses had budgeted for sort of a really good January and all of a sudden it isn't, I mean, it's a long, long haul, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And people want everyone to know, the local businesses want everyone to know that we are open. Please come and visit. And that's in all of the areas. Harcourt had, they have a Big Apple show, or yep, I forget what it's called, every year. And they really push to get that back and running and making, you know, because it brings people there. So you can't, once people get out of the habit of coming, if they always come and camp at a particular area, yep, you want them to keep doing that.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so. And do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. King was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown, the courtroom was adjourned.
Welcome back, and we're talking to Cindy McLeish. Now, Cindy, on Tuesday next week, I think I've spoken to you before, I love Mansfield. I don't live there. I probably wouldn't want to live there because it's too far from family and everything.
That's a good place to live.
It probably is, and it probably gets a bit too cold for me in winter because I love the heat. Anyway, all sorts of that. That's all just rubbish. I'm going up on Tuesday just for a trip, and I like to buy some stuff up there and, you know, have a few coffees and buy, if I need a hat or something, buy it from the local shops. So what am I going to find when I get there? Am I going to find a really bustling place like it used to be, or am I going to find that people are just keeping away?
No, well, Mansfield wasn't impacted at all.
But you mentioned fires in and out.
Yeah. And so you'll be driving up from after you get out of Yay, just around Killingworth.
Yep.
You'll see, and the you'll see a lot of fencing that's pulled down because, that's a huge, huge issue.
Yep.
But it looks as though the hills are painted a light green.
Does it?
It does, yeah. So that grass is, well, it's not going to grow much because we're coming into winter, but it's just grown back and it's green. And a lot of the trees are either dead or they're shooting. And in a lot of areas, particularly north of Yark and Merton, where they've got very high very wide roadsides, that you'll see the massive vegetation lost, and you can tell it was really hot at that point.
Right.
You'll be able to you'll be driving through for pretty well Yay to nearly Bonnie Doon.
Yep.
You can see how badly the fires were impacted.
Yep.
So there's the shops in Yark, the pub in Yark it's probably been going okay because all of the AusNet workers that are coming back to do the work have all been staying there and having meals and the accommodation. So there's a lot of workers that have come from outside of town to do that work. There's a lot of excavation work going, removing dead trees, and you'll see enormous trees that burnt and came down, and they're cleaning up the roadsides. If you drive into Alex, it's almost stark with how the roadside clearing's gone because it was really bad around Coriella and Fawcett.
So I guess how are these areas starting to recover?
Look, the areas are trying to do everything that they can.
Yep.
The Yay have a cruise night where they have all the cars come in.
Yeah, I want to come up there.
Yeah, well, you should. It's really, really good. Yep. it's done, a guy started it and had to be auspiced through the community house there.
Yep.
So that was, that's been one thing that they've had. The last few weeks in Mansfield, they've had festivals. So they had Harmony Day on Saturday, which was huge. Lovely. The week before, they had a pottery festival. Then they've had the Hunting and Fishing Expo with, got probably 12,000 people turned up.
Right.
And it was massive, massive. And it was done 2 years ago. So these were scheduled to happen.
Yep.
They had the Merry Jig Rodeo the other day, which was busy. This weekend, Alexandra having the rodeo, which is they had to cancel the other one because it was right in the middle of all the fire stuff.
Right.
So, these sorts of events that draw people there. And in Easter, there's festivals on at Lake Eildon about drag boat racing. There's bush markets in Mansfield.
Plenty for people to come up to, isn't it?
There's plenty to do. There's always stuff in the Yarra Valley too, in the Yarra Ranges. There's lots. These areas do their best work, at the busy times. It's about tourism. So, they're doing a lot there, but you will see, lots of houses that have been burnt down. You can see the rubble there. Some have been cleaned, some haven't been cleaned. That cleanup process is really tough because some people are insured and it's part of the insurance. Other people don't have that as part of their insurance, or it costs more, and some people weren't insured. So you can see all of that. Fencing's a really big issue at the minute, trying to get perimeter fencing done. So,
Cindy, have you spoken to some of these people who've lost their homes? I mean, I don't know how you'd cope with something the likes of that.
Yeah, I have. And, in fact, the number of people I know who've lost their homes, who I've known for a long time, not even through this role, personally, it's devastating. But not only so, the asset protection that the CFA do is around homes, but for some people, their machinery shed is their livelihood, and so the home might stay, but they've lost all their ability with tractors and farm gear and tools and other equipment. They lose all of that. And sometimes, that's worth more than the family home, and you don't know what's insured or what's not insured.
And it's not only, I guess, that it's worth a lot more money. The other issue is if you haven't got it, you aren't earning any money.
Oh, Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's not only I've lost my house, but how am I going to earn a livelihood? I've lost stock. And at the minute, if I've lost house and stock and I've got to try and fence my property, and, you know, there's the Upper Goulburn Landcare Group are involved, Blaze Aid are involved.
I was going to ask you about Blaze Aid.
Yeah, there's quite a few people that are out there helping.
Yeah.
But it's slow. You know, Murrindindi Shire lost 4,200 or so, maybe even more now, kilometres of fencing. You know, that's huge. Yeah. And this is the largest fire over private property in
is
the
it?
State. So think about the other big fires.
Yep.
There's a lot of parks, national parks and things like that. This was pasture. This was farmland. This went through, you know, it's different from, like, if you look at King Lake and Marysville, surrounded by national parks or state forests.
Yep.
And so there was a lot of that that burnt. This time it was pastures. And if you've got... If you had long grass, and some people did have long grass because there'd been a lot of rain and they hadn't, everyone had sold off in a drought. So the undersides of cattle get burnt trying to, you know, whereas if you've got short grass, it might just be around their hooves and they can move through it easier. But when you've got long grass burning and you're trying to get out of it, you know, it's really difficult. So stock losses were huge.
And I don't know much about insurances, and I need to just take a break a minute. But can you insure stock? I don't know.
Well, I guess you probably can. I was just thinking, actually, on what my insurance covers.
Well, I'm wondering because I know you've got a farm, but I'm wondering when do you insure your stock?
Yeah, and look, people insure different things. People might insure their house; they don't insure their fences. Some might. People will insure different things. And the cost of insurance, bushfires, has gone up astronomically. And one guy I know, he said the quote that he had for bushfire insurance was $16,000 for a small property. And he said, I can't afford that. So, you know, this is what's happening. And people's houses, they might thought, oh, I need $500,000 to rebuild the house. And they're like, well, the recovery is going to cost you $50,000. And then the cost of a build, $700,000 now. And so people are like, oh, gosh, I can't replace what I had. And I thought I was insured. So, you know, it's – and everyone's situation's different. So
tough times. Take a quick break. We're going to come back with more.
And we had on toast for tea, and we laughed and needed love. Yes, I do. Oh, and I remember.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Cindy McLeish, our local MP. Cindy, we had, I think it's John from Crank Up, came in to tell us about what was going to come up at Crank Up, and we had Mr. Excited, who ran a car show down there, and I believe that was very
Mr. Excited.
Have you ever met him?
No.
Oh, man, he bounces off the walls.
Maybe I have.
Oh, he's an excited man. But I believe you went there on the Sunday. So how did you find Crank Up? It was terrific, I believe.
It was. And, in fact, when you were just mentioning about the bees,
yep.
through the fires, there were a lot of beehives lost as well. And there's already, you know, there's already a bee problem that has been the last few years.
Yep.
And so we really need as many bees and plants. And I know at home I've got these beautiful grevilleas. And this year you could count the number of bees on it, whereas other years it's just been buzzing. Yeah,
ooh,
so, but their Crank Up's good, and they have people who have old machinery and love their stuff.
Oh, they do,
and,
don't they?
Yeah, and there's this old hay baler which I really love. Yeah. It rather than, you know, the old days, and you still see it in the like fairy tales where they had the pitchfork and the big pile of hay, and someone would just add to the pile, and that's what you use your haystack.
And they're still there.
Well, they have a pile like that, and they feed it into this machine, and it compacts it and bales it, and out pops this small square bale, you know, just the old ones that we were very used to.
Yep.
So it pops out there, but it relies on a diesel engine, and it's just, it's so cool the way it operates. Someone literally shovels all of the hay in, and it's one of my favourites. And they also had a log haulage thing where they had basically on a pulley system, also, you know, diesel powered, and they had an area where, you know, they pull the log, I don't know, maybe 40 metres, 30, 40 metres, and then they unwinch it and then go and pull it back the other way. But it's all not, you know, manually. It's the early machines.
Yeah.
And I really love seeing that. And I think kids do. The Clydesdales are there. So it was and it was great weather this year. Great weather.
Cindy, when you're travelling around these days, and this is just an observation and I might be wrong, it seems that when you're talking about the hay bales that you spoke about, a lot of them are now round instead of the old sort of square ones. Why have they changed? Do you know?
Yeah, the ease of feeding out, the size.
Oh, so is that it?
Yeah, it's easier to bale them like that. Yep. You know, you can't pick them up. That's the thing, you can't pick up. I can pick up a small square bale and feed it out, but if you've, you know, got a lot of cattle, so then, you know, you've got a thing in the back of your tractor that you just drive along and it just feeds it out, it rolls it out.
Oh, it just rolls it out like a cable sort of
thing?
Yeah,
it rolls it out like a cable. Yeah, yeah, it's just like you're rolling out the red carpet sort of thing. It just rolls it out like that. And in fact, a couple of years back, there was some round bales just between here and Yarra Glen on a bit of a hill, and one of them had rolled down into the dam, and you can see you can see the whole trail about where it is, and it kind of just edged in the on the dam.
So the machine sort of compacts it so that it, you can just roll it out.
Yeah, yeah, it rolls out the way it bales it and rolls it out. You know, rolls it up, and then you just roll it out. So yeah, but they, you know, have Clydesdales and donkey rides and the wood chop, and the wood chop includes chainsaws sometimes. You know, they're like crank it up, and they really do crank it up. I guess that's what it's called.
And one of the things too, and I've said this a few times, is that when we do an interview with someone like, well, I did Montelancy only a couple of weeks ago, and I did the one with Crank Up, you'd be surprised how many people who say, oh, I've lived here 20 years and I didn't know that was there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm astounded.
I know. Look, there's signs on the highway and things like that. Sometimes, it's, you know, school kids are there, not as a school group, but, you know, kids are there because it's a really good day. Toffee apples and honey and all sorts of great stuff. And the old trains, and they've done it up. At the Upper Yarra Museum's been done up, you know, again with volunteers, really beautifully.
And that's what I was just going to lead into with you. Apart from Crank Up, well, Crank Up's gone, has moved on now until next year, but the museum's open every weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's a real, I've been up there. I actually did a broadcast from there a couple of times. It's a really terrific place to be.
Yeah, and I was just looking to see, I had a photo of the Upper Yarra Historical Society. I think it had been there for 40 years. I was just looking to see what the cake was that, you know, that they had.
Yeah,
a little while ago. Well, not that long ago, I guess. Probably a few months. Yep. But, you know, again, it's volunteers and they come and go. You know, people come and they'll donate 5 years or dedicate 5 years to it and then go and do something else or retire, and others come on board. You know, there's different people. And, you know, I was at the Yarra Valley Railway at the goods shed in Healesville last night.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a terrific place there, what they've done and how they're getting it sorted, and it's coming to the end. You know, they've just about, I think, got the track all ready to get started.
It's been stopped for a couple of weeks, hasn't it? The railway over here. I think they've been doing some work on the tracks.
Yeah, and there's, you know, certainly a lot of track work that had to be done.
Yep. All right, I'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Cindy, Clean Up Australia Day, you wanted to talk about that and the different groups that get involved. It's a terrific day.
It is a good day, and people, you know, they all get out crack of dawn almost, you know, early and get it over and done with. And it's something that I always participate in. And in fact, one year I couldn't, and I thought I'll clean up at home because I live on a farm and, there's a roadside. God, I had two bags full in about less than 20 metres.
It's disgraceful.
I couldn't believe it. It's disgraceful. Yep. This year I was at Strathcreek and the road that we went up was actually, I've got to commend everybody, that was pretty good. I did have to say to Landcare, you need to watch the plastic things you put around trees, the tree guards, because that was a lot of what we picked up.
Was it a problem, was it?
But I know, look, Karen down at Badger Creek always gets a crew there. I think it's Michelle in Healesville. I think I've done both Badger Creek and Healesville. I've done Millgrove, the Residents Action Group. Get organised.
They're coming in the next hour.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Jan from there is coming. Cindy, just before we move on, we underdid the museum. We thought 40 years.
But, we but did underdo it. I did. I just found a photo of the birthday cake, and it was 60 years of the terrific. Upper Yarra Valley, you know, Heritage Society. So that's a, you know, that's
terrific
great
effort.
And they've got really good stuff. They've got old Melbourne Water stuff when it was the Board of Works, yep. And they've got old post offices and, you know, cabins that people, you know, lived in, yep. Up in the bush sort of thing at Powley. They've got Gilderoy parts of the old stations. It's really good, actually. Got lots of great stuff.
And it's a variety of everything, too.
Yeah.
It's not, I bet they've got all radios, they've got phones, they've got everything there.
Yeah, and in fact, if you get the right person giving you a bit of a talk, the train that's there that's parked right on the platform,
yep.
It also has room for a coffin.
Does it?
It does, and the underneath, and then, you know, you can go in and you can sit where the guards sit at their yep. whole tiny little space. I yep. mean, it wasn't. It's not comfortable.
Yeah. Well, they were there. Nothing was comfortable.
Nothing
was
comfortable, but they yep. had a little underneath where the guards sat, where you could slide from outside. You could slide a coffin in. And because it often was the way that they moved those. So lots at the Upper Yarra Historical Society.
Yeah, and we underdid them. Now, citizenships. You want to talk about some of the citizenship awards you've been to?
Yeah, I think that Yarra Rangers, they have, I'm not sure if it's monthly, but they seem to have quite a few citizenship ceremonies, and there could be anywhere from, you know, 40 to 60 people. And I wanted to give you a bit of an idea
yep.
about where people come from, because it's really quite varied. So just in my area.
Yep. Which is a big area.
Yeah. But this is only Yarra Rangers. So yep. We've got the Philippines, Canada, Germany, Kenya, New Zealand, Brazil, and the United States.
True.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So that was just in my area. But if you go a little bit further down, you know, Myanmar, there's quite a lot in Yarra Rangers at Lilydale. The Netherlands, Irish, Indian, Thai, Hungarian, Chinese, Iranian, South African, you know.
Gee, there's a range.
There's always the New Zealanders and there's always the English.
Yeah, we always get a few of them.
Always, yeah. and they live all across the Yarra Ranges.
Yep.
And it's a bit different. So we'll, out here it's a little bit different to some of the city, not even a city, like in Hume yep. or Whittlesea, they'll have three citizenships almost back to back to back, you know, every 2 hours, and they have hundreds of people at each one.
Yeah,
I think there's about 100,000 new citizens in Victoria every year that take citizenship. So,
yep.
yeah, Murrindindi only have a handful. They might get 20. Mansfield might get 15. Yarra Rangers get certainly more than that, and Nillumbik yep. get probably similar to Yarra Rangers. But, you know, and one of the things that we all talk about, because, you know, the councillors talk and the yep. politicians talk, is about what we have here and why people come to live in Australia. And it's easy sometimes to be critical of everything.
Yep.
But, gee, I tell you what, compared to a lot of other countries, I'd rather be here. And, you know, like the yep. Persian, the Iranian people that come here, who pretty well identify as Persian,
yep.
They, you know, aren't very happy with the country that they grew up in, where, you know, if they were over there, they'd be covered up. And here, they have the freedoms.
It's very free.
Yeah,
and,
very free.
And they get persecuted in some of those other countries too, don't they?
Yeah. And, yeah, we've had some absolutely fabulous Iranian citizens here. The women, I tell you what, this is always surprises me. The women are always physicists, engineers or mathematicians.
Oh.
Or doctors. Highly educated. Yeah, nice. Highly educated. And
probably not really appreciated where they come from, were they?
I'm not 100% sure, but they're always very happy
to be here.
Yeah.
Sounds good. We'll take a quick break and then we'll be back with more.
My ring to show the world that she belongs to me. She wears my ring to show the world she's mine eternally.
Now, Cindy, you it's the school year. Well, in fact, we're just about at the end of the first term, aren't we? It's just about gone so quick. But obviously at the start, there's all the new junior... When I say junior leaders, I'm talking about student leaders, not the new teachers and that.
There's new teachers too.
and their badges and all that. So I guess you've been to a few of those too.
That's right. It's one of the things that MPs and councillors get invited to a lot is the presentation of badges to the school leaders. And some of them have loads of leaders, some have less. You know, you've always got your school captains or sometimes vice captains, your house captains, and SRC captains. You'll have environment captains sometimes. Sometimes you'll have, you know, there's a variation.
And some of these kids, or young people, I suppose I should call them, they are so articulate. Because I've been to a few of those and they get up and in front of, you know, the whole school and parents and teachers.
Well, that's right. You don't realise, for sometimes it's the first time that they've spoken. Like, I'll be at an assembly and I was at one the other day and I thought, oh, these kids are old hands. And the principal said, no, they've only just found out yesterday. This is their first assembly, you know. And they do, different from my day, you know, to speak. And so it's great that kids get the confidence. And some of them come up at the end and say, thank you very much for coming. We really appreciate it. And their manners are usually really quite good.
Yeah.
Probably do more primary than secondary, do a lot of the primary.
But it's just unbelievable at such a young age. I probably wouldn't have got up in front of a whole lot of people.
No, and they take on things too, you know, like at Healesville Primary School, they've got their colour run coming up on Friday, which colour runs, a lot of schools do it, you know, you wear an old white T-shirt and people throw all this colour bombs at you.
Like
I
that.
Know. Yeah, it's particularly cool. But a couple of the kids from Healesville Primary were involved last year and again this year in... fundraising for that and for things at the school. And, you know, they were going, two of the girls that I was talking to were going in that night, were going to the main street to go into a lot of businesses to see if they could gain support for what they were doing. It's really great. And, you know, I think they start SRC from about grade two, student council representative, you know.
Yep.
they've got to have a couple of years at school to work out what's going on. What's the layout of the school and what are the doors I go in and out.
Yep.
And, you know, I talk to the kids about, well, when you're an SRC, you know, you've got to be kind of like me. You've got to be listening.
Yep.
And you've got to go out and you can't use work for advocating. But, you know, people have got good ideas and not all the good ideas, you know, you don't have the good ideas, but some of the other kids do. You've got to be listening and asking them about what they think should be an improvement, all this sort of stuff. And so, you know, you've got to make sure that you're listening, and if you say you're going to do something, you know, you need to do it. So you have good conversations with the kids.
And I've been on the school council, as you know, for many years, and some of those kids, they come along, or young people, they come along and they really present to a school council, which is made up of teachers and parents and all that, and they really advocate. They really do.
And these are great skills to have.
Yeah. You know?
I remember one time I was at King Lake and the grade sixes sitting around the table talking about what needs to be done around the school, and the kids like, oh, a liquor paint would be good. I remember vividly, and they said, oh, and those drinking taps, they're always broken. The preps put sticks in them and they block them up, and I don't know how we stop. But, you know, out of the mouths of babes. Like, it's so lovely having these discussions with kids. And then as they get older, you know, when they're secondary school, their thinking is so much, you know, at a different level.
Yeah.
And deeper. So, you know, they come into Parliament too.
And, I mean, they are really good. They're really good advocates for the other kids, and it's terrific to see them wanting to take on those positions too.
Yeah, it is. And one of the other things that I've been zipping around doing a lot of in the last couple of weeks is I do hampers for the kindergartens at Easter. So I do gingerbread. I do gingerbread houses for primary schools at Christmas.
Yep.
And I've been doing it for years and years and years.
Yep.
And hampers for... Yeah, Easter. So I have to be very careful how I do it because the chocolate melts very easily. So I've got a separate bag of eggs with a ton of ice in there in the car. So when I get out to deliver a hamper, I've got to get the bunnies out and the eggs so that they don't melt. So I've been zipping them around. So, and the schools do different things with them.
I was going to say, do they run a raffle with them? Or what?
Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly. But they can be a prize for something, you know. I give it to the school and they can provide it to... for whatever purpose. But yeah, so that's always a nice thing that Easter, and I'm not eating as much chocolate at the minute, so.
I don't think any of us are. I'm on a diet. I'm trying to. Well, I've lost a bit of weight and I want to keep losing. Well, about where I want to be. But Easter coming up and Christmas aren't good times to try and lose weight, are they?
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Cindy, we've got about 2 minutes. Something you want to say to wrap us up?
Well, I did notice the other day, and I saw that it was on. The Healesville Rotary were having a dance, and I
just the masquerade.
I don't know how that ended up, but good on them for doing that. I thought that was a bit of fun.
We had Rotary in last week, I think it was, and they told me that it went really well.
Ah, that's excellent.
That went really well.
The Healesville Races Golden Thong are coming up, and in Parliament we've had our big debate, our parliamentary debate. The MPs versus a journalist.
Journalist, how did it go?
We did it last year. We were organising the next one. Yep. Sammy J can't be the compere, but Limo is. So Limo, they donate their services, and we raise about $15,000. Get a couple of sponsors, but I'll be starting to publicise that. We're just kind of finalising the details, that's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, have you got the subjects yet? Or the subject.
We've got a couple of ideas for the debating topic, and we're arguing the toss about who should be the debaters.
Right. So how many on each side?
Three.
Three on each side.
The journos organise their lot.
Yep.
And we have a Labor, a Liberal and a National that do the debating.
You can't tell us yet who the three on the...
We haven't got it sorted. Look, last year the journalists were Tom Elliott, Raph Epstein and Samaya Illamby. I think it was Samaya. Yep.
And who won?
Oh, the journalists, it's always really close. It's about the cheer level of the audience.
so they bring all their mates along.
Yeah.
And that's not a good way to do it, is it?
Yeah, no, but it's always a bit of fun. But I think last year was about MPs could be replaced with AI. I think that was a topic last year.
Yeah, AI's done a lot. Cindy, just before I go, what happens at Cindy's place on Easter?
Well, I think I've got the Mansfield Bush Market. They've got drag racing it.
so you're not going away or anything like that?
No, not going any. I was going to go to Moliella. They've got a sportsman's day on the Saturday, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that now. Yeah. And Jeff always goes to the footy on Easter Monday.
Sounds good. Just very quickly, something about bush bikes was on.
Bush bikes?
Bush bikes up. Up and
down. Oh, the down push bikes. They weren't push bikes. The national. The national championships for mountain biking at Mount Buller.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that was last weekend. It was pretty amazing.
Another great thing. All right, thank you, Cindy. Time for us to go, and we'll look forward to talking to you next month.
Fabulous, thanks.